Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Let's continue with Tom Holman. I have one more clip here. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez, he did an interview. He did a sit-down interview. Nick said that this is the end of the sit-down interviews. He wants stuff done.
Yeah, you don't want to end up like Travis Kelce or Jason Kelce in my world.
I disagree with you. I think this is important.
It is.
That he speaks out. And because the reason is that people are going to hear this. Employers are hearing this and thinking, ruh-roh, there's a raid that's coming within less than a week.
And the illegals.
And, yes, those criminal elements who have time to get out or hide or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important.
Yeah, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek with the exhaustion. I do love Tom Holman. But, yeah, no, you're right. There is, I do believe, a methodology to this. And it's advertisement, right? You're advertising what you intend to do. And if that reduces what he has to do by even 1%, right?
Mm-hmm. He's Trump's front man.
He's got a good start.
Saying, oh, I'm not going to speak for the president. He's going to make these big announcements. You know what I mean? He's a front man.
Mm-hmm. Should Trump-supporting farmers be worried that their workforce is going to leave? Roll it.
What would you say to potentially Trump supporters, Trump voters, farmers, ranchers, who employ undocumented immigrants as part of their industry, should they be worried that their workforce is going to leave?
I would tell you, wait and see what we do at worksite enforcement before you make that judgment. There's a legal way to bring in agricultural workers in this country. If it needs to be expanded, if the Department of Labor can say that we don't have the workforce to do it, then it's up to Congress to make a fix. But right now, we're going to force the law as is.
Will mass deportation hurt the economy?
I think mass deportation and results of mass deportation are more important to this country than anything. I don't put a price on Lincoln Riley's life. I don't put a price on all these young women who've been raped and murdered. I don't put a price on our national security. What price do you put on national security? So I think the national security of this nation, we can't afford another 9/11. We can't keep affording American citizens dying at the hands of illegal aliens.
It's a great point that he makes at the end, and it's a question that every one of us should be asked, and all of our answers are probably different. How much do you value your safety and your security? If somebody would proposition you and say, what dollar tag would you put on your own bank account from tax dollars to ensure that your daughter doesn't end up the next Lake and Riley, I think we would all say you can't even put a dollar amount on that. Now, as far as what the farmers are going to have to deal with, I would think common sense says, okay, if you lose workers or you have some shortages and you have to raise the compensation for people to do the job, maybe it gets offset with the reduction in your energy costs and your energy prices. If Trump's able to bring energy down like he claims he will be able to, then that should offset any rise in wages that you might have to bump to get people to do jobs, a lot of times people just don't want to do that because it is a grind. I mean, my God, especially he's talking farming here specifically, but landscape. Has anybody ever had the landscape when they've been out of work or during the pandemic when they had to get a second job or now during
experience?
I'm telling you, man, I did it for, I don't want to get this wrong because my wife will fact check me. 6 to 8 weeks, right at the beginning of the football season in 2020. This was before the election. I did it for six. I was the only white dude there. It was me and a bunch of Latino guys. And I know they were talking trash about me. Like, there's a white guy here. Yeah, looks like he should be in some sort of a building right now or whatever. I'm like, okay. And I thought I did a decent job. But, man, in Tennessee, for 12-hour days, you start at 7 a.m. and you're not done till 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. And I know I'm speaking to people out there that do labor for a living. So it's not like I'm saying any groundbreaking stuff here. I don't know how the men who do hardscaping do it. Landscaping is one thing, mulch, weed whacking, grass. Hardscapers out there, you have my utmost respect.
We deserve to be conquered, by the way.
I deserve to be stuffed in a trash can with the weak
males we have.
I know.
Like, and I'm speaking for myself, too.
Trust me, if you were to rank people to do landscaping on this show, Dawn would be the first pick, not Greg or I.
I love it. First of all, it's a great workout.
Mm. Well, I
have a chainsaw. I have all the equipment. I love it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great workout, and it feels good to, you know, get things done yourself.
Oh, yes.
It really supersized for me during the pandemic because you couldn't find anybody.
I love doing my own yard.
No, I found people.
You did?
Of course.
My guys all went to Florida.
Yeah. No, I found people.
Yeah, that's why you tip some big time at Christmas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, I love doing, you know, weed whacking. I like mulching. I like cutting the grass. I love the smell of grass when you're cutting it. I love the whole process. I just hated doing it for a job doing 8 properties a day.
By the way, the Newtown Athletic Club is asking me right now about how many people that they should prepare for breakfast.
100 million.
And I just said, I have no idea. I have no idea. If, like, you know, we can't, it's a free event, so anybody can show up.
Why don't you set up, can people even on the chat, or can people just, I don't know, just to get a rough count, just say if they're, I mean, it's not a, you know, you don't have to, you know.
Why don't you just,
just to get a rough guesstimate, can you say if you're, you know, 80% sure you're going to be there, just let us know.
Or email Stalker at some point today.
No, please don't email.
RSVP to GregStalkerSucks.com.
I get so many emails
good
a day.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I know our people show up, and I know they show up early, so that's what I said to them. I don't know.
Put it this way. We
have enough omelets for everybody.
We filled up the FOP lodge.
What was that? 100? I would say a minimum of 150 people are going to be there at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. A minimum. That's my guess.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I said that if there was enough people, I would crowd surf off of the stage. So
you're going to be like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura when he goes into that big mosh pit right off the stage, huh? I hope they catch you.
Joe Biden yesterday gave a press conference, I guess. He gave a speech. Speaking of illegal immigration, he said when he became president, the numbers of illegal border crossing came way down.
Oh, is that right? I must have misread the numbers. I must be looking at the wrong graphs.
Play Joe.
Look, let's get something in mind about the border.
Yeah.
When I became president, the numbers came way down, number one. Number two, we had a circumstance where I pushed very hard for a bipartisan agreement to put more people on the border, more Secret Service agents. And guess what? He's on the phone saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Make me look bad.
This is the same guy that said that if Kamala Harris would have run for president, she would have beat Donald Trump, right? This is the same guy that said that? If I recall, I'm trying to find, I'm actually searching on Twitter now. I think it might have been N-Wokeness that had the graph. And I've used it in big takes in the past. You compare the Obama administration, the Trump administration, and the Biden administration, and you look at the graph and the chart, and we've thrown it up in big takes or in segments on the show on YouTube. I mean, it looks like a blood pressure spike. It's like low, low, a little bit higher, a little bit lower. And then it goes right up and then it kind of come down a little bit. And then right up again. I don't even know we have a true number. I've heard anywhere from 10 to 15. Some people even speculate with the numbers that they're not even aware of that it could be closer to 20 million. You look at, and actually Trump and Obama's numbers were actually relatively similar. Don't completely quote me on this, but they're in the same ballpark. And then comes along 2021, and it's just, you know, stampede of the bulls, running of the bulls.
He also said that his administration is leaving the next administration with a very strong hand to play.
Strong hand to play. Okay.
Right.
My administration is leaving the next administration with a very strong hand to play. And we're leaving them in America with more friends and stronger alliances, whose adversaries are weaker and under pressure. And America, that once again is leading, uniting countries, setting the agenda, bringing others together behind our plans and visions. And America, which is no longer at war, which has made historic investments in American workers, American energies, many American factories, generating the strongest economy in the world, which is now in a much better position to win the future against any competitor. These wins are not partisan. They're American. They benefit all Americans and reflect America's endless capacity for leadership and reinvention.
Yeah, I have no idea what he said. But I wanted to show this. Phil, I don't know if... Do we have a Zoom feature on me? And I guess it's probably not going to look right now because my phone has got like a glare to it. I just texted all of us in the group. I'll put out the tweet of the graph during the break. U.S. immigration by status, net immigration. And they track it from 2001 to 2024. And you look at the last four administrations. G.W. Bush, net total immigration in his time, 9.8 million people. Obama, 7.9 million. Now, keep in mind, those are 8 years because they both serve two terms. So let's round up. Bush had 10 million. Obama had 8 million. Trump in one term had 3 million. And Biden had 10.4 million. And he hasn't even wrapped up his first term yet.
Well, so, with Biden, though, keep in mind, when did, I was trying to find, was that June when he, because it was, right, he knew that his numbers were dropping in popularity. Was it June that he got tough and then we saw the lowest in his administration?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was at some point in June.
Yeah, there was some sort of act or legislation. It was like the last second Hail Mary to say, hey, look, we got a hold of this.
Well, because remember, they knew that they had the earliest ever presidential debate in June.
That's right.
So remember, they wanted to do it ahead of then, obviously.
June
and then
27th.
The question was like, why now? Why mm-hmm. didn't you do this before if you had all of these problems?
Yep. I guess there it is.
Now, great job, Phil. I didn't even ask you to put it up. If you're on YouTube, you can look at the chart. Leave it up there for a minute or two if people want to rush over to YouTube and look at it as we continue here. You'll see the disparity in numbers.
I guess yesterday was the last press briefing with KJP.
Where does that binder actually go?
Oh, she'll get a TV gig.
No. I mean her physical binder.
Oh,
do they put that like in a historical
yeah,
museum?
I don't know.
I mean, that's an artifact.
It is. She had some kind last words, or actually, Ducey had some kind last words for her.
Mm-hmm.
Roll it.
If I don't see you again.
In
the briefing. Thank you for always. You could have stopped taking the hard questions years ago, and you didn't. So we appreciate that.
Over 2 years, my friend. This is a let's say one last dance, right? I don't know how I'm going to fill my dance card now. How will I fill that void without you?
You tell me. You tell me. So
start some rumors in here, I guess.
He's getting red too.
God, this is nauseating.
It's all over.
Yes.
Between next Monday and 2028. Who's the leader of the Democratic Party?
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
One last question.
That is, honestly, that is for people much smarter than I to make that assessment, decision.
That is true.
Which is everybody.
Obviously, voters will decide. That is not something for me to decide. I could say right now, in this moment, in this room, as I'm looking at the clock, as it's counting down, because we have to leave shortly, you have the president, President Joe Biden, who is obviously the president and the leader of the Democratic Party. I cannot predict the future, so right. That is not something that I'm going to do from here.
She can't predict the future. She can't talk about the present. She has no clue about the past. Everything is white supremacy or climate change. And then when she doesn't want to say that,
I would refer you to the White House counsel.
But you know what? We're never going to hear this again.
I'll see you tomorrow. Come talk to me.
No, yeah. Because there is no tomorrow. This is the last dance for the binder. This is like Jordan and Pippen when they wrapped up that six-peat with the Bulls. Remember the documentary, The Last Dance? No more go-arounds.
Who's the new press secretary?
Are
you talking about Caroline Leavitt?
Yes.
Caroline Leavitt.
Yes.
Okay. So who's going to be her...
nemesis? Jim Acosta.
No, Jim Acosta has his own...
No, he has his
right.
own
they
gig.
Took him off
he's
the
not
trail.
Giving that up.
Caitlin Collins.
Caitlin Collins.
Yeah, Collins.
She's going to be at the press briefings?
Well, remember, she got that... She's now, once again, not only doing the 9 o'clock show, she's the chief correspondent again for... The administration.
Wow.
Because all she did, and if you follow Caitlin Collins, and I follow some of the left-wing media as well to see what they tweet about, Caitlin Collins' timeline, everything is Trump. But there's never, and I don't even, and I've, honest to God, I've never watched her show. I only see the clips that you see on the cut sheet.
Yeah.
Does she ever have like an entertainment segment? Does she ever do anything other than the straight faced Trump media coverage? Like, it's amazing with all of these shows out there, the ones that get good ratings and the ones that are awful. You ever notice the ones that get good ratings have a nice variety? They can laugh a little bit, have some fun, do some other things other than just hammering the opposing president for 60 straight minutes. Note for all of you aspiring hosts out there, add more than one pitch to your repertoire.
On the transition that's going to happen on January 20th, where we will be broadcasting live from the Newtown Athletic Club. So please make sure you're out there to join us all day long, starting at 6 a.m., going until 3 p.m. after the Dom Giordano show. Melania Trump was interviewed yesterday by Ainsley Earhart. And apparently the transition team has 5 hours to move the Bidens out and the Trumps in.
That's right.
Wow.
Gonna have a lot of movers on standby.
Man,
yep.
I wouldn't want to be that. That's a job and a half, isn't it?
I told my buddies when we moved into the townhouse this past July, so you got 5 hours.
Roll it.
The difference is I know where I will be going. I know the rooms where we will be living. I know the process. The first time was challenging. We didn't have much of the information. The information was upheld for us from previous administration, but this time I have everything. I have the plans. I could move in. I already packed. I already selected the furniture that needs to go in. So it's very different a transition this time, second time around.
Will you decorate it exactly like it was before, or are you making changes?
A little bit of changes, not much.
How have the Bidens been? Have they been accommodating, and are they still living there?
They're still living there, and they will be out on January 20. So what happened is on January 20, the transition team has only 5 hours to move Biden's out and to move us in. So everything needs to be planned to the minute.
Jill did not Febreze the rugs.
And they had the doggies, and the doggies poo-pooed all over the rugs.
There was German Shepherd hair everywhere.
Or maybe it was Biden.
Clean up the cocaine.
Oh, my God.
You know, I would actually love, and I know we never get this kind of access, but it would be pretty cool, especially considering, you know, Trump is a, reality television type guy. I would love to have some sort of production. And by the way, the guys that provided the garbage truck for Trump's stunt are apparently still working with him moving forward. So why not have a behind-the-scenes move-in, all-access, 30-minute special where, you know, you have, I don't know, Ainsley Earhart narrating it, and you can see them, you know, what goes into this room, what the bathroom looks like, whether or not Melania uses Crest or Colgate.
In truth, Nick, I think part of this is that it's a security issue.
Yeah.
They don't protect roofs when Trump's in Butler, so why not see it? Why not get access to the bathroom? What the hell?
24 minutes, Pete Hegseth,
the
way.
Yep. 9:30.
Yesterday, during the press briefing, the NSA's Jake Sullivan actually came out to take some questions, too, and April Ryan asked about AI. And she asked if AI misidentifying people of color is a national security concern.
Can artificial robots be racist?
Well, the problem is, yes, Dawn, and I know what you're going to say. The problem is that these AI things kind of show, you know, don't show people of color, right? Is that the issue?
They don't read it as well.
Yeah.
And so, and there are more mistakes.
Mistakes.
The more, the darker your skin, the darker your skin and hair and eyes, the more mistakes they have.
So robots are like dogs. They're colorblind.
Well, yeah, and it's probably a lighting issue, I guess.
Okay.
You know, so yeah. I'm being very serious about it, but it has been proven to be a real problem.
Well, I'll be unserious about it. I think what the left should do, if they suspect AI and accusations of racism, track down who is the creator of said AI project, and then, because, you know, just like with, you know, these smart searches, there's always some sort of bias that feeds into the machine, right? That's how you track it down.
All right, let's play this.
You're saying that it's a huge national security issue. Is there a concern about how it does not, AI is on the National Security Front, is not accurately depicting or scanning people of color? Because we are understanding civil rights groups are very upset about that, how it's misidentifying. Is that a concern with national security as well?
Yes, it is, of course. It's if you think about the series of concerns that are raised by the advent of artificial intelligence, they range across economic, military, and social risks. One of those is bias. And there have been a lot of studies to show that bias is a genuine challenge when it comes to artificial intelligence and the ways in which that could undermine social cohesion in the United States and globally has national security implications.
Yes. You know, when we talk about national security, we've got things flying up in the sky that nobody can talk about. We've got guys driving, you know, Teslas into hotel valet drop-offs and detonating bombs. We've got terror attacks in New Orleans. So when we talk about national security, we have got to do a much better job on many different fronts. The least of which, I'll repeat it, the least of which is whether or not artificial intelligence is accurately processing skin pigmentation. If I was Jake Sullivan, I'd be like, is that a serious question? Where are you from? What outlet do you work for?
I just don't, okay, physically, I'm simply saying, honest to God, it's a lighting issue or a lens issue. In other words, if you think about the different types of technology that can have night vision or can identify somebody's face even though it's under a shadow, under a hat. And so the darker your skin, in other words, if it's backlit, if you're a super light-skinned person, they can still make out the definition of your features.
So by your theory, then, you know, it would struggle with me.
It's a lens issue.
Like in the winter, I don't have a great tan because I'm not golfing. So the AI would have more of an issue with me in August versus January because I have a tan in the summer. Right?
Yeah, I mean, my dark, shiny hair was always the bane of the existence of everybody in lighting, and they always, in television, so everybody always wanted to light my hair, do highlights. Why? Because of the camera lens.
So in television, they preferred that you were blonde as opposed to
blonde and white is way easier to light.
Yeah.
And was for them. Right. And so it's actually annoying when I see somebody who has dark hair or dark skin and they don't know how to light them. It's like, come on, people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that difficult. But it's an issue, in my humble opinion. This is a physical lens issue. And because AI is a computer.
Yeah. Of course.
It's a programmed computer. It's not. I don't know. I just think it's a physical lens issue.
Al Sharpton was consuming that presser and that question. He's like, all right, so the grift is drying up with humans and racism. Maybe I pivot to artificial intelligence racism. That'll extend my career and get me another mansion.
Are we still doing return to office mandates? Like, it's 5 years after this freaking pandemic, and we're still telling people to come back to the office?
Yeah, that's right.
Get up, Harry! Can you play Cut 8, Phil? This is, there's really no need for a setup for this. This is from TikTok.
I just need everyone to realize this. Return to office mandates hurt women, underrepresented groups, those with disabilities, and caregivers the most. So who is it actually for?
The office, can you put that, put the screen grab up there? She's quoting a Washington Post article from November of 2024 that said diversity will suffer with 5-day office mandates, research suggests. Diversity.
Why would diversity suffer if that means more females have to go from remote work to back home to working in the office? Wouldn't that balance out the diversity of male and female?
No, the issue for women, I don't know what they're talking. The issue for women is that it's impossible to find childcare, and it's expensive
awful.
And daycare.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of problems. And so, look, there are a lot of people who are highly efficient at working from home, and they have their little ones, and maybe they have somebody who's a helper, but they're not really comfortable with leaving their baby with that person, you know, full time.
Yep.
I think in the private sector, it's really up to, I think, the private company and where they're at, That's my opinion. But the way to handle this is to say, hey, for all of you, whether you're in the public or private sector, and you've been working in person, you've been coming in, that means you've been spending more time commuting, you've been spending more money on whatever, parking expenses, blah, 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 gas. So you get a bonus.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a bonus for every year that you've been coming in, right? And just incentivize people. Do it the opposite way, as to say, well, if you work from home, then you're not eligible for a raise.
Yeah.
You're not eligible for the bonus, that because somebody should be your colleagues have been coming in, they should be, you know, rewarded.
Yeah. I mean, the childcare costs are just astronomical. My sister is probably considered to be in the 1% financial. I mean, she's an HR exec, she makes stupid money. She shouldn't be making that, by the way. She's overpaid, in my opinion.
Oh, boy.
That said,
she's invaluable.
She is the cornerstone of the company. She complains about the child care costs. It's almost like $1,700 a month, and she's only got technically one and a half, because one is now in kindergarten and is only there for like 2 or 3 hours after school. But here's the other thing. Now, I'm just going to, you know, make an assumption here. Washington Post, the eyeglasses, TikTok.
Here we go.
Probably childless cat lady, right? I think we can assume that. J.D. Vance, I'll channel my inner VP. But even if she's not, well, here's the thing. Are you married? Do you have a spouse? Do you have a second income? Right? Like, I mean, you know.
Your sister Erin, the HR person, would say you're not allowed to ask those questions.
I know. True. My sister would actually fire me within a week.
As well she should.
And she probably would enjoy it.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to be the big star of the family. I'm going to get into radio.
Yeah. My parents were looking down saying, man, we always knew Erin was the sharper tool in the shed. But like this whole thing is, we created this excuse-making pattern of not going back to work, right? Child care, I get it, it's expensive, and it's probably more expensive. Everything's more expensive. Daycare is not a new concept, right? Like, this with technology comes convenience. And people got so comfortable not having, and I say this all the time, when I was doing the satellite show from home, it was cool for like 2 weeks. And then I was like, man, I got to get back out into society. My wife has been working remotely for about 2.5 years now for a financial company.
So is mine.
And I'm like, don't you ever, like, I mean, you're literally at your computer desk all day.
My wife loves it.
I mean, she likes it from the fact that she can get some other things done and be there when the kids get home. But I mean, you know, she's like, my back hurts and my wrist and this. And she's like, is it cold out? I'm like, yes, it's cold out. If you went outside, you would have actually known that, right?
Amazon, Citigroup, UPS, and Walmart are among those ordering most or all employees back to the office full time. But remember, we learned that, was it the CDC? Remember we learned that we didn't even realize that all of these government employees, pensions and all that good stuff, they've all been working hybrid or remote.
Yeah. And it's good for your mental health, being in your house all day, presumably by yourself. Not necessarily the greatest thing for your mental health. And on top of it, from the employer perspective, I mean, I want to make sure, if I'm a boss, if I'm a CEO, if I own the company, I want to make sure that what I'm paying you, I'm getting the return on my investment in you. I know with my wife, she has metrics that she has to hit every day. They're called activity metrics. It's, you know, this amount of emails, this amount of calls, this amount of revenue generation, this amount of cancellation. And, you know, and they can track it. They can track your mouse movement.
Yep.
And then you have those weasels out there. And my wife never does this, but I know people have done this, where, like, they go out for lunch and they take their laptop that they're working from on with them, and they just kind of navigate the mouse. Like,
so they don't have a GPS.
Uh-uh.
The shows.
I just can't believe we're still, like, if you do remote work and that's part of your, like, I'm fine with that. You, whatever makes you happy, I'm fine with.
What about government?
But well, I mean, I don't know if you need to be there, then you should be there.
And if you're the business owner, two things.
I just can't believe we're still doing this 5 years later, like a return to work mandate.
If your productivity does not drop and you hit your quotas and your goals, and I can reduce overhead by not paying rent, it's a win-win. But you have to do your job. If not, you get your butt back in.
Well, we got to get our butt to a break.
That's right.
And I got to use the little boys' room. 855-839-1210. We'll continue. We'll get to a big three. And also, we've got to get to the Carrie Underwood story, as well as
she's being roasted by her fans.
And you knew it would happen.
Oh, my God.
But good for her. We'll talk about it, as well as who made out in the stock market.
I can't wait to hear the story.
Wonder how much money Nancy Pelosi made. Stay right there. We're back after this.
My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have sleek new designs and innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. And right now, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Carrie Underwood set to perform at Donald Trump's inauguration. Big news yesterday, TMZ with the scoop, as they reported around 2:45 yesterday that Carrie Underwood spoke out after being chosen to perform at the inauguration coming up this Monday, saying, quote, "I love our country and I'm honored to have been asked to sing at the inauguration and be a small part of this historic event. I am humbled to answer the call at a time when we must all come together in the spirit of unity and looking to the future," said the American Idol winner. She will be singing America the Beautiful. And, of course, you know, a lot of people on the left having big meltdowns. Many comments flooding social media, including performing the Orange Buffoon's inauguration. Guess we know where you stand. Will you be performing Before He Cheats? Another Carrie Underwood song. So disappointed that you care, but you completely lost a fan. Don't ever call yourself an LGBTQ ally again. You're supporting the man that wants to abolish their rights. You should be ashamed. And you know what's amazing about this? The only thing that would have been better is if Taylor Swift came out and said she was going to perform at Trump's inauguration. And having lived in Nashville, Carrie Underwood, like everybody, lives in Nashville. She married the former captain of the Nashville Predators, Mike Fisher, and he's a big conservative, big Trump supporter, but she's never really put herself out there. But by the way, whether you're angry about this or you're like, yeah, welcome to the MAGA party, this in no way guarantees that she is of the same political party as Donald Trump. Maybe, just maybe, she's like, yeah, it's a great honor. Politics be damned. I'm guessing that she could very well be a Republican, but I have no idea of knowing one way or the other or not, and it really shouldn't matter. I wanted to read this tweet. This was from John Rich from Big and Rich, and he tweeted, "There are several top-tier country artists who support Trump, and I wish they would finally have the balls to come forward and be counted. Ain't nothing outlaw about keeping your mouth shut to appease record labels. Carrie Underwood is making you," and he's talking about other male country artists, "look like a bunch of sissy boys." And, you know, I was thinking about this last night. I mean, imagine having the belief that, you know, you can come out as an American and say, "I stand for Gaza and I support Palestine," and that should be the accepted viewpoint on the conflict in the Middle East, and that not be controversial or stupid, yet coming out to perform for Donald Trump on Inauguration Day is somehow worthy of boycott, cancellation. And look, you boycott whatever you want. You know, Republicans boycotted Kohl's and Target, right? They boycotted Bud Light. So I have no problem if you want to boycott Carrie Underwood. I don't consider it cancel culture. I've always thought cancel culture is when you go after somebody's speech who's the everyday person. I have no problem if you want to go after the Hollywood elites on either side or the corporations. That's fine by me. Hit them where it hurts, in their pocket, in their wallets. But I think this is great. And I have no idea, again, whether or not Carrie Underwood supports Donald Trump or not. But the fact is, it shouldn't matter. And I think this is the inflection point, Dawn. We've talked about it. Trump won the popular vote. he's more popular a third time around than he was the second time around or the first time around. And you're seeing more and more people that are like, yeah, I have no problem. I'm coming out of the closet. If you don't like it, and let's face it, Carrie Underwood's made her money. This is not going to impact her bottom line.
No.
And her way of living.
By the way, she said that she's honored. She loves our country. She says, I'm humbled to answer the call at a time when we must all come together in the spirit of unity and looking to the future. What a beautiful statement.
Yeah. And this is not the first time that this has happened. Barbara Streisand saying God bless America at Bill Clinton's inauguration.
Shocking.
In 93.
Shocking.
But that was okay.
Yep. Aretha Franklin belted out My Country, 'Tis of Thee at Obama's ceremony in 09. And Ray Charles sang America the Beautiful at Reagan's inauguration gala the second time he was sworn in. So there's your Carrie Underwood update. I would argue probably the second biggest act in music from a female perspective behind only Taylor Swift.
I wonder if they called Ray Charles like an Uncle Tom or something for doing the Reagan thing.
I think Al Sharpton probably did.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. 1984 is a very different time. And at that time, yeah, especially by liberals, I mean, Reagan wasn't popular amongst liberals.
No.
But like, do you think anybody was just like, I'm boycotting Ray Charles' music because of what he did? I don't think they did.
So you say no?
No.
Interesting.
No, I don't. No. I think that it was just, you know, he did it. He was the president of the United States. It's an honor to do it, no matter who the president is, no matter if you support them or not, and you do it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just feel like some things are bigger than us, and that's one of them.
All right, there you go. Also joining Carrie Underwood will be Kid Rock. And the Village People. So we've checked off all the boxes.
Lee Greenwood and opera singer Christopher Macchio. Yes.
When have the Village People become like a cool thing?
When Trump made YMCA shimmy back
Macho man.
That's right. All right, we'll come back. Big three from Dawn. And then when you look at Democrats and Republicans in Congress that just seem to know more about the stock market than you, how big of a gain raises some red flags?
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody gain 142% year over year?
Boy, you've been teasing this for 3 hours.
Oh, it's going to be glorious. We'll pay it off right after the big three. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Without further ado, let's get caught up in the world of news and maybe some other stories out there. Time for a Dawn Stenslin Big Three at 9:37.
It's the Big Three and Nine on Kale and Company.
Number one from Fox News multi-million-dollar earning individual to the hot seat. So Pete Hegseth is, Greg revealed earlier his Fox salary, which we're still roiling over here, you know, $4.5 million for a weekend
show.
Dang.
And Fox Books.
But you know what? He said I could probably make more working on Capitol Hill and doing insider trading, so I'm out.
Well, not yet.
Yeah.
But he's got to get the gig, so he's in the hot seat, took the hot seat, opening statements, that sort of thing, as he's first up, and he is now being dubbed by the so-called mainstream media as the most controversial of the Trump picks, Secretary of Defense.
Until the next one.
Right. Until the next
and
one.
And then the next one, and then the next one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Until his head ends up on a wall somewhere, and then it'll be Bobby's turn, and then Tulsi's turn.
Yep.
Amen.
Down the list.
The bottom line on this is that, you know, I'll have the audio. Dan Borowski has the audio, so we'll have it moving through the day and give you the highlights, the lowlights, etc. But we're rolling on all of it. You're not going to miss a thing. It's just the boring, perfunctory crud that's happening right now.
Mr. Wicker is the chairman, Roger Wicker, from Mississippi, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mississippi.
Yeah.
From the Senate Armed Services Committee chairman, and he's bloviating right now.
Yeah, he's bloviating. Then Pete's going to give... Part of his opening statement was leaked, so he's going to say things like, you need somebody who with dust on their boots. In other words, somebody who's done the job, has the respect of the rank and file, etc. So we've got that one going on. A follow-up, and this is important in Philadelphia, even though it deals with Starbucks, this all began, this new Starbucks policy, well, it's a reversal. And Greg Stocker, you remember when this story broke in Philadelphia in 2018, we were on afternoons at that point. So remember in Philadelphia, that little incident that made national news, mm-hmm. and that was when a manager, who, by the way, ended up winning a multi-million dollar lawsuit, she was following the company policy in Philadelphia when two guys came in, or one guy came in, then the second guy came in, and they weren't customers, wanted to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so the manager got fired after she told them the policy to say, you have to be a customer,
yeah.
the bathroom code is on your receipt, and you got to be a customer to use our restroom.
Mm-hmm.
She was fired.
Yep.
Made national news. Oh, she was a white woman, so she was racist, yada, yada, yada. All these years later, that was 2018. Well, now guess what, Starbucks? They have reversed it back to the original policy.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Well, I'll be damned.
So it's their new code of conduct, which goes back to the old code of conduct, which was posted by all the company-owned North American and Starbucks stores.
Mm-hmm.
And they say they're also banning discrimination or harassment, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line here is that all employees are trained to prioritize paying customers.
Yes.
Show of hands on YouTube for everybody here
yep.
that has stopped at a place of business to use the potty and didn't buy anything.
You're a lowlife. How dare
you? You've never pulled into a
Absolutely
Wawa. You had
not.
To take a
no,
leak.
I just make a purchase.
I will always make a purchase.
Yeah.
For
yeah. Whether, just buy
whether
anything.
A, whether it's a pack of gum
well,
or a bottle of water.
Me, yes, royal you, family.
You always... You always go in there and purchase something. You don't just walk in there,
yeah.
use the bathroom, and leave.
There
Especially
are...
a big old deuce.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't say nothing about the deuce, man. But, you know, you got to do a number one. You got a long ride. I think your miles till you get home factors into the equation.
Buy something.
I have in the past. But yep. there has been other times where I've gone in. Did my business and skedaddled out. And at Wawa, they don't know because they could just assume you're out there pumping gas.
I drove up to the Poconos over Christmas break. I did it by myself because I was sick and I was meeting my family up there. I went up there. I stopped at a rest stop where you can literally just go in there and get something. I felt so bad that I bought a giant bottle of water. I will always buy something. Always. I mean, I'm the ultimate consumer, so it's not shocking that yeah. I'll buy something. But no, if you're using the facilities, no matter what it is, you buy something.
Yeah.
Phil, poll question. I think I'm going to be vindicated on this one. I think I'm in the majority.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD. Vote on this, Phil. How can we put this?
Have you ever used the restroom at a place of business without making a purchase? Yes or no.
Yeah.
And I think yes will be around 71%.
Well, no, I think you're 100% wrong. I think that most people feel bad. And even if you buy a bag of chips.
It's Mother
Nature.
Something,
chewing gum.
Mother
Absolutely.
What, are you just going to go? What if you don't have your wallet on you?
Use your phone.
Yeah.
Payment on your phone.
I will never use Apple Wallet. Ever.
The code of conduct warns that violators, this is this new... the renewed Starbucks policy, violators will be asked to leave and the store may call law enforcement if necessary. And Starbucks employees, they're all going to receive training on enforcing this new policy, which, of course, is the reversal.
Kale is correct. The right now, we're going at about 80-20.
That's right.
People who've... I mean, where were you people raised? Give me a break.
And I say this as the biggest proponent for law and order in this country. I'm all for adhering to what...
77-22. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I will say this...
Dawn and I were raised properly.
Yes, we were.
Thank you.
But I will say this, you know, would you... If a company... It depends on the business, if it's like a restaurant as well. So
yeah,
I didn't say
I walked into Capitol Grill to
right.
drop one off.
But also, what if somebody from the store is trained and they say, hey, did you make a purchase... You know, I would just make a purchase,
yeah.
even if I had.
Yeah, if I get called to the floor on it, I'll buy something. Like I'm not going to, like, you know, jump over the counter like I'm at Chick-fil-A with as an angry customer, start assaulting people.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Go and vote. The yeses are running away with it. You people were
really?
raised in barns. How
I'm
dare wrong. You?
Folks, I'm dialed in right now. I
you
can't
are.
Miss. It's just...
By the way, this is the best thing we've done all day.
Yeah.
This is... So we're still in the big three. I know we've talked a lot. We've talked about so much. I'm just trying to find... there was a story about dementia because I was going to go with...
4 out of 10.
Yeah. Thanks.
That is I saw that
new
yesterday.
New cases of dementia will spike in the coming decade.
4 out of 10.
Anyway.
4 out of 10 people under... over the age of what was this, 65 or 59 something.
Yeah.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
My question is, does this go along with that study that said we need more study on the mRNA COVID vax?
Right.
Because there are links drawn between dementia, Alzheimer's, and the COVID mRNA.
Up to 4 in 10 people could develop dementia after 55.
Yeah. I could see that happening to me. I'm starting to have my mind slip already.
It's alcohol. Alcohol is all these alcohol studies.
Stop.
I think you're right, alcohol. Tom. I think you're right. I can't tell you because we have in this little townhouse community we're in right now, we have this, you know, big dumpster area. So you have to, like, you know, when I have trash cans, I got to go take it out. And I can't tell you how many times I throw the trash in the back of my truck in the bed, and I do that, and I say I'm going to drop off the trash before I take the girls to dance. And I pull out, and I'm on the way to the dance, and I'm like, I forgot to take out the trash. Happens twice a week.
All of our research suggests what you do in midlife really matters, said Dr. Joseph Korish of the NYU Langone Health, who co-authored the study in the Journal of Nature Medicine. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yep.
Now they're not saying Alzheimer's. They're saying dementia.
Mm. Right. But I was referencing the other study that we talked about that was with regard to the mRNA vaccines, especially COVID, and the link, and they acknowledge, NIH acknowledged, they need more study.
By the way, if you're a female, it's more likely that you can develop.
All right. Well, we know that.
It's all because of menopause. Well, menopause does a...
Hormones.
Ton of...
Men are the superior gender.
Ton of stuff to your body, man.
Yeah, but the hormones and the menopause, the reason that American women in particular have the problems with it is because of the diet, the alcohol, the obesity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other countries don't have that. It all goes back to RFK Jr.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because when you gain weight, it releases any kind of weight gain releases all these crazy, like, hormones and stuff in your body. Yep. Other countries don't have it.
Right.
All right. We have
RFK Jr.
And by the way, have you ever used a restroom at a bathroom? Or, excuse me, have you ever used a restroom at a business and not bought anything? 76% say yes.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
One day the winning will end, but it just won't be this day. All right. I promise you the congressional results of our elected officials in the stock market. We'll zip through that on the other side. And then Phil Almquist and Dawn Stensland, what happened today in music and what's happening in 13 minutes? Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
The stock market had a record-breaking year last year, but members of Congress still managed to outperform it with their portfolios and make staggering gains. More than 20 members made almost double the S&P 500 average gain of 24.9% last year, and Nancy Pelosi, who has become a lightning rod with her gains, picked up an additional 71% year over year, but that actually is middle of the road, believe it or not.
Oh, my God.
Middle of the road. So an off year for Nance. You know, she took some time off. You know, Paul had the head surgery, the whole bit, right? So the number one guy was Republican David Rauser from North Carolina, whose estimated percent change in 2024 was a staggering 149%.
These people need to all be investigated.
Number two, Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz, a ridiculous 142%. Other notable figures, both Republican and Democrat, Susan Collins, Republican, 78%. Republican Dan Crenshaw, we know the man with the patch from Texas, 61%. Byron Donalds, my boy, 43%. Republican Mitch McConnell, 42%. Let's see here. I got some other Democrats. Dean Phillips, Richard Blumenthal, well above 26%. Marjorie Taylor Greene, 30%. James Comer, 29%.
Investigate every single one of them.
And John Fetterman coming in at 23%. You could get some updated Carhartt hoodies.
It's unbelievable.
Ro Khanna, 19%. Rand Paul, 14%. Hakeem Jeffries, 9%. And Republican Tommy Tuberville at 6%. Those are the
names out there that I think the audience will recognize. There's other people in there in between, but they have much lower profiles. So there you go, wow. If you've been wondering. So Nancy Pelosi, you know, pretty good year, but not to the tune of a Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
She needs
doubled
to,
up, Nan.
She needs to fleece some more.
I agree. I agree. So there you have it. All right, let's find out from Phil Omquist what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history.
January 14th, we celebrate the birthdays of Dave Grohl, who's 56, Zach Wilde, who's 58, Mike Tramp from White Lion, who's 64, and Jeff Tate from Queensryche, who's now 66. We also lost Jerry Nolan from the New York Dolls on this day in 1992. Sigs Lacoud Freeze Frame by the Jay Giles Band in 82. And Susudio by Phil Collins, High on You by Survivor, and Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon, all in 1985. Album Lacoud Permanent Ways by Rush in 80. Paul Simon's second solo debut in 72. Back in the USSR by Paul McCartney in 89. And Poetic Justice by Lillian Axe in 1992. Also in 2007, Amy Winehouse was atop the UK album chart with Back to Black. In 78, the Sex Pistols played their last show with Sid Vicious. In 70, Diana Ross made her last appearance with the Supremes. In 66, David Jones changed his name to David Bowie. In 63, Charlie Watts made his Stones debut. In 2002, John Bon Jovi made the first of 10 appearances on Ally McBeal. And in 73, Elvis Presley's Aloha from Hawaii became the first concert featuring just one performer to be broadcast live via satellite. But lastly, on this day in 2014, Black Sabbath's 70s catalog was added to the iStudent store for the very first time. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lomquist. By the way, speaking of the 20th,
yeah,
even though I'll be stuck here during the show because yeah, I have to be
right,
as a producer,
right,
I will be at the Knack immediately following this show. So I'm going to go straight from here to the Knack. So if you want to meet me, that's where I'll be right around 11 o'clock.
Look at this.
All Phil's fans.
Phil Lomquist meet and greet.
Well, maybe Phil can do, because that'll be during the Dawn show.
Yeah.
So maybe Phil could do like a little special musical.
Dawn, do you want an extra co-host?
You know.
Phil's available.
And we'll have fun there with it.
Yes. All right. We find out what's on tap for the Dawn show, which could very well be co-hosted by Phil Omquist in 6 days.
So we will, obviously, we're going to have all the latest of all that's happening in the Senate right now during the live coverage with Pete Hegseth. We'll bring you the good, the bad, the ugly, the highlights, the lowlights. We'll get into some of these studies, what the Biden administration may be announcing today as far as tobacco. Are they going to limit your cigarettes or the nicotine levels in your cigarettes? We'll get into the development of dementia and what you can do to combat that. There's a ton of news that's breaking right now, locally, statewide, but obviously a lot of Trump news. So we'll bring all of, you're not going to miss a thing, don't worry. A lot of Trump news and new statements by Trump, etc. We got it all coming up on the Dawn Show.
All right, Dawn Show coming up top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow morning for a Wednesday edition at 6 a.m. Tony Bruno live at 8:30. And, of course, all of the details and revelations with Mr. Hegseth on Capitol Hill today. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.